So what we'd like to talk about is the title is How to Mourn with Those Who Are Mourning, or I like to also think of how to walk alongside others who are mourning or have suffered the death of a loved one. And, you know, it can be a hard thing to see someone we know, whether it's a friend, family member, even acquaintance or church member who has suffered a loss, a deep loss, death of a loved one. It can be awkward. How do we, you know, we care about this person, but how do we walk alongside them? How do we show them that we care? And that's what we're going to talk about here. Not only some very practical things that we can do, but we're also going to talk about where the grieving person is coming from and some of the things that they often go through so that you can better understand what we're talking about, what we're dealing with. So we'll talk about common responses to death of a loved one, false beliefs that a grieving person often has. And it's helpful to know these things as we're walking alongside. Some practical help, practical things we can do. What to say and what not to say. Signs of healing, ways to encourage a person when you can see that someone is showing signs of healing. And additional resources. And please, at any time, if anybody has anything they'd like to comment or question, just stop me. We're small enough here. I'd like to make this interactional. So let's just look at a few few verses from Scripture. Romans 12:15 tells us to weep with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. Galatians 5:13, through love serve one another. And that is just such a great characteristic, I have to say, of Grace Bible Church. To see people serving one another, to see people caring for one another and serving in various ways. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Again, something that I, as an elder, as elders, were so pleased to see, people bearing one another's burdens, coming alongside others. When those who are sick, we see it listed in the vine, people reaching out, people praying for one another, offering very practical ways you can help. Same thing here in, again, serving or coming alongside those who have lost someone to death. Bearing one another's burdens, encouraging and building up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. 2 Corinthians 1:4 talks about, or is an instruction, to comfort others as you have been comforted by the Lord. So just as we've been comforted by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, and by others, we're to be that vessel. God has shown us his grace, right? His grace from above. He's poured grace into us, and we're to show grace to others. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, Ephesians 4:32. And pray for one another, James 5:16. Can anyone think of any other verses that might?
I was just going to comment about that, comforting others. The other thing is to maybe set it apart if you can't set it out.
Yes.
Person, because I know I'm a big car person.
Yes.
People really remember that car, and I'm always really surprised by
it. Yes. So important. Yes, they can read it many times. And I'm kind of jumping ahead on myself, but you know, if someone has lost a loved one, there's funeral, people come alongside and are there in that time, which is so important, and often meals and cards. And I got to tell you, if you're kind of like me and you have great intentions to, you know, that day or that week, and you miss it, maybe it's the following week or that's great. I'll tell you why, because after a very short time, everybody goes off to their own responsibilities, their own lives, right? So to receive a card maybe 2 or 3 weeks or a month after that loss has occurred can really be very significant, very helpful. I had someone give me a card 1 year after my late wife passed away. And this individual had suffered numerous losses and so really understood. And I'll tell you, that was just so helpful, so meaningful to me to receive that card 1 year after my late wife passed away, saying that, you know, we haven't forgotten. And that meant so much. So these are some common responses to the death of a loved one. So it's kind of good to look at this. We're going to spend just a little bit of time looking at what the grieving person may experience. And I'm going to just start out by saying that everyone experiences grief differently. So there's like no right way or wrong way to grieve. Some people are very emotional and forthright with their grief with others, and other people are very kind of quiet about their grief. It varies all over the map, and that's another just a good thing to understand. So sadness and loneliness are just two very common responses. Irritability or anger can come out. Fear of the future, you know, especially in the loss of a spouse. This person is, you know, is my other half, and we do everything together, and we were planning on a future together, and now what, right? Or even a close parent, for instance, someone whom you're just, we're very close together, and you did life together, and now that person's suddenly not there. So fear of the future. Confusion. It's a very confusing time. It's almost like many people say that they're on almost emotional overload, that there's just so much going on. Even those that know the Lord and love the Lord and are walking with the Lord and are keeping their eyes on Him, even with that, it's still a very, very confusing time. We mentioned anger already. Ambushes. What's an ambush? The idea is you're in the grocery store and you hear that song that meant so much to you, right? Or coming to church can be difficult. You think, why coming to church? Coming to church can be difficult, believe it or not, because if you were accustomed, if you normally attended worship with your, I'll say your spouse or child or parent, if you normally attended worship together, and now they're not there, there's so many memories. They're good memories, but there's so many memories. And that can serve as kind of like an ambush that brings up those emotional responses. Difficulty with everyday responsibilities. I remember I was, I don't know, I was maybe a month out in my loss, so that's not long at all. I was really fresh in my grief. And I remember on a Saturday just looking at a clothes basket full of clothes. I needed to do laundry. And I just looked at this and I said, not right now. Almost as if that was too hard, right? I look at that now like, what? That nothing could be simpler than that, right? But even simple everyday responsibilities can be kind of be somehow overwhelming when you're going through this kind of thing. Anxiety, guilt, and we'll talk about guilt and false guilt. Loss of appetite. Some people stop eating. Other people eat too much when they're grieving. Inability to focus. I remember I had suddenly, I'm a kind of like a very focused person, almost to a fault sometimes, and suddenly I developed ADD. So I couldn't focus on one thing for more than a couple minutes. So spending time in the Word and doing devotionals were even different. It was I had to really work to stay focused. So loss of inability to focus, sleeping constantly or difficulty sleeping. We talked about difficulty being in church sometimes. Difficulty trusting God. there's a difference between our theology, our what we know to be true, and our practical theology, where the rubber meets the road, right? So there can be a time where it's difficult to trust God. And if someone is going through this, or someone whom you know, it's just a season. It's just a season. And changes in social standing. Again, I'm most familiar with my personal experience is the loss of a spouse. So that's something I relate to most, although I come alongside others in grief share with all sorts of losses. So in the loss of a spouse, you're used to doing things together. And you know, you're kind of one flesh, right? As scripture says. So suddenly you're no longer one flesh. Your standing is different. I remember getting the first piece of mail that said, you know, like widower. Like what? Like why do people even put that on an envelope? You know, it just felt like a punch in the gut. Any questions before I move on, or any comments? Okay. Christian?
My mom, just like this question, because my uncle passed away.
Your uncle passed away. How long ago was that, Christian?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah. I'm still grieving.
Yeah, of course. I'm very sorry for your loss. And and 2 weeks is nothing in terms of grieving and yeah. And grief and Christian, the other thing to understand is grief doesn't understand time.
No.
So, you know, somebody could say 6 months ago or a year ago, or we've had people that have come to Grief Share that had losses decades ago. In one of our earlier cycles, we had a woman who we started talking to. We had met here at Grace, and within the first couple minutes, there's tears and a lot of emotion, and found out that her mother had passed away 10 years prior. And because she hadn't dealt with her grief and worked through it, that stuff was still there. We were able to walk alongside her and help her and point her to scripture and help with her healing. So grief doesn't understand time. That's a unique thing about grief. Okay, another common response is secondary losses. My late wife was a great cook. She just spoiled me. She cooked all my meals and was creative and trying new recipes, and suddenly, becoming a single guy again, I had to figure out how to cook again. I had to figure out how to plan meals. I had to, you know, go to the grocery store and plan these things out. Secondary loss. We talked with women who their husbands took care of the car, took care of paying the taxes, took care of, you know, certain things. And if that woman's husband passed away, now suddenly they're dealing with that. So there's not only the primary loss of losing the loved one, but what that person did and how that person, worked with you or blessed you, whether it was a spouse or a parent or even a friend. Okay, false beliefs. What are some false beliefs? Well, one of the common ones we see very often is the should-haves. What I should have done to prevent my loved one's death. Right, I should have seen a different doctor. We should have done this differently, or I should have seen the signs. And those come out of emotion. They're false beliefs. There may be some element of truth in it, but they're blown out of proportion. Who is sovereign? Are we sovereign? Are we in charge? No, it's God who's sovereign. God is sovereign in all things. God is sovereign in that person's, that loved one's getting that loved one help, whether it's physical help, a doctor or medicine or surgeries. God is sovereign in all things. So these false beliefs can be a problem with those who are grieving. And some mistakenly take responsibility for the cause of the death. Again, it's to us, if we're not grieving, we haven't been through that, you kind of say, huh, what? Right? Doesn't sound very rational. And it's probably not. It's not rational. But it's something that grieving people often struggle with. So that's something we need to be aware of. Should we go to a different doctor? I should have seen the signs, right? So oftentimes the person who's grieving is struggling with that. Again, just something to be aware of. Here's one. God took my loved one. God took my loved one. Some feel that God has been unfair or unjust, right? Why so soon? Why so early? They were serving the Lord. They were walking with the Lord. They were in the worship team. They were serving in the church. And why did God take them? Again, that's a very common response. And yet, when we look at Scripture, Isaiah 43:1 tells us, I have called you by name. You are mine. We think that the loved one, that loved one is ours, right? Whether it's a spouse or a child or a parent, that no. We're given this loved one for a time from the Lord, but this person is the Lord's, belongs to the Lord. And there are many, many other scriptures that point to this. Any other thoughts or any other scriptures anybody can think of? Yes, before there's even one. Psalm 139, verse 16. Yeah. Yeah. And that is a great blessing, too, when we can, at some point, if you're walking alongside a loved one, or walk alongside someone who has lost a loved one, maybe not right away, but maybe at some point in time, if they're open to talking about Scripture, talking about these things, that you can point them to that, you know what? There's nothing you could have done to keep your loved one here right now. Because every one of their days was written in God's book. Every one. So certainly the day we're born and the day we die is written in God's book by His sovereignty. Now, between the day we're born and the day we die, hopefully go home to be with the Lord, there are things that we can do to improve ourselves physically, right? Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. Good exercise, good nutrition, etc. Those are all important things we can do in that time that we're here on earth. But there's really, Scripture tells us there's nothing we can do to extend life. If only I'd done more. We kind of reached on the taught and Psalm 139:16. Thank you, Ernie. So again, these people can take on the weight of responsibility that's not theirs. It wasn't their responsibility to do all the right things or get to the right doctors. Sure, we all, if we're in that situation, we want to do everything we can do. We want to help any way we can help, but ultimately God is sovereign. Okay, let's switch now into some practical help. We've looked a bit at some of the beliefs and things that the grieving person goes through. What can we do? What are some practical things that we can do? Reach out. Number one, just reach out. You know, sometimes it's hard. Like, what do I say? How do I reach out to someone, right, who's lost a loved one? What's that look like? Feels awkward if we haven't done that before, right? It could just be a simple text that says, hey, I know this is a hard time for you. Please know that I'm praying for you. Simple, very short. I care for you. I'm praying for you. Please let me know what I can do. Just keep it very short. They may not even respond, but more than likely they're going to read that and it's really going to impact them. And they know that they are cared for. And at some point in the next few days or weeks or sometime down the road, you can have more of a conversation and reach out to them in new ways, just as they respond. Just sitting with them. I think of Job's friends, right? Job lost everything, right? All his children were killed instantly in a day, and his entire life, his livestock, his livelihood, all gone, right? And we're told that Job's three friends came, and they get a bad rap. Why they get a bad rap? Because they point to Job. You know, was there some secret sin in your life you're not telling us? You know, what was really going on, Job? You know, was God is righteous, Job? What's the deal here? But the first 3 days, what did they do? They just came and they sat with him. They were just there. They were present. They were present. And, you know, they got it right for the first 3 days. Now, after that, I've got some problems with how they handled things. But so just being with a person is just tremendous. And oftentimes we think, as you point out, Christian, was it aunt or uncle?
Uncle
passed away 2 weeks ago, right? So is your aunt still living?
Yes.
Okay. So she's still living.
Yes.
Praise God. So just being with her is could be a great blessing to her, and not right now, but a month from now or even 6 months from now, is a blessing. Try to understand where they are and what kind of help they might need. You know, look at the practical things. What's going on in your life? You see the grass is growing. Well, maybe there's a way you can help there. Express and let them know that there are people who care and want to help. You know, the world just goes by so quickly. And when we're grieving, it's almost like everything's going and we're in slow motion and everything else is at hyper speed. So just for that person to hear that you care about them and you'd like to help is huge. You could ask the person to maybe even just make a list of things that you could help with. You know, oftentimes you may see someone, whether it's here at church or in a work setting or a neighbor, and say, you know, please let me know what I can do to help. And you mean it, right? You really want to help. You don't know how, but maybe you really want to help. And the response is often what?
All good.
Thank you, or all good, right? Right. But you could. One way we can extend God's grace is to say, "Well, you know what? Just think about it. You don't have to tell me now. Just let me know. Send me a, you know, if you think about something, and send me a text or whatever in a couple days or a week. Please let me know because I want to help." So it gives them the opportunity to think about and process. Provide a meal is just a great, great comfort to those that are grieving. Either delivering a meal or if you have time to actually just sit down with them and spend, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour and enjoy that meal together is such a blessing. Invite them to your home for a meal. And last on the list here, so importantly, is don't rush them. Again, grief is weird. It's really weird in that it can last a long time. And we can't rush someone who's grieving. Sometimes there's a tendency to say, like, you know, Tim, I know you're grieving, but boy, we missed the old Tim. Ouch. You know, that doesn't help. That doesn't, you know, it rather, you know, Tim, we care for you and I'm here for you, and maybe we can get together for coffee next week. You know, don't rush the person. Yeah, Gil?
What do you say, I guess it's more on your wisdom in going through this yourself. Don't rush them, I understand that, but let's say there's things that are good for them that you want to try to help them, to push them into. Like maybe they've missed church for 2 months.
Yes.
You know, when it's about time you come back, how would you work?
Yeah, so if this is a person who It's either a believer who is regular church attender and now they haven't been. After a period of time, as the Lord puts on your heart and you pray about it, and you think, you know, really need to get back, to have a conversation with them. Hey, I noticed you haven't been coming to church. Is it really hard for you? Or, you know, we're like, that person probably knows that we're not to forsake the assembly and knows that they should be in worship. Thing that was done I'll say Elaine Denblaker has shared with others. When her husband passed away, she asked, can we just have a place to come in and sit and be a part of worship and then be able to leave right at the end of the message, because it was too much to just be greeted by everyone for a time. So that's something we can offer. Sometimes people find it helpful to go to a different church, you know, for worship, because they can kind of come where and be a part of that worship and worship the Lord and not have a, you know, 50 people put their arms around them and hug them. And everyone's different, right? So sometimes that's hard for people to have that kind of attention. Does that help?
Yeah,
is that helpful?
So
I would say gently encourage and ask, hey, you know, maybe there's, you know, depending how they answer, you know, it's just like, oh, every time I hear music, I'm, you know, I'm crying. I can't keep it in. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Or maybe encourage them to sit in the back row. Yeah. Yeah.
Thing. And then I know I had something recently with a friend of mine, and I volunteered, when you're ready, I'll pick you up. We can sit somewhere different.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and then hopefully that gets them back home.
Yeah, really, that's great.
Everybody coming up and hugging, we missed you. And like that caused, I think, more emotion.
Yeah, it can. And I saw another. Yes.
Service, we can head out. What you kind of, maybe we'll have like a flat flip, you know, do something, say something to me. Right now we can decide what that is, so that when we're at church and you're ready to go, then we can say, you know, we're going to head out now.
That's great.
And just,
yeah.
You're kind of like the bodyguard.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
That ouch presentation you just did when you said the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Ah,
very good. Very good. So if for the griever, all right, so we talk about that more from the grieving person's perspective and grief share. And that's a whole lesson. There's a lot to that. But the idea there, or the thing that realizes that in the case of, you know, my example here, hopefully you see I have a heart for this individual that just had a loss, but it just didn't come out the right way, right? So for the person who's grieving, it's often very helpful for them to say, I'm having a really hard day, or this week has been really hard, you know, really hard. Please pray for me. To be honest with what's going on. Because the world says, how you doing? You're good, right? What's your answer? Yeah, I'm good. That's right. The world doesn't give you that. More? Yes, yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry. How can a grieving, I just lost my loved one.
Yeah.
How? What do you mean, how am I doing? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just said, build my business. How do you expect me to answer you? Mm-hmm. I said, those questions you're answering, it's like over the phone.
Yeah.
So I switched it and I said, so how are you doing it?
Mm.
I said, let's just move off the subject. But I just wanted to know how the youth partnership is fun.
Yeah.
When you hit with that actual, you want to kill them.
Yeah, you do. Oftentimes, and I had some of those things. And again, it's usually from well caring, meaningful people, right? But yeah, there's we could spend the whole hour talking about that. But yes, so that was a good response. What we encourage people to do is to be honest. You know, and try to understand that even if there's sting at the moment, that person does care for you. It's just maybe they haven't been through a similar loss themselves, right?
Why do you say if you want to cheer them up, people who are leaving, how are you supposed to cheer them up? What do you say?
Yeah. So these are some of the things we can do. We'll talk a little bit more. Of things that we can do to encourage. We can point to scripture, and yet to answer your question, we can point to scripture. That's a great place to be. Psalms are a great place to, you know, you may just have one specific scripture in mind. Just read one verse and say, hey, you know, the Lord put this on my heart, and I'm hoping this might encourage you. Oftentimes the person who is even a very strong believer who is grieving, you know, I don't, there's a lot of dumb things we can say, right? We don't want to say, you know, God uses all things for our good. You know, he's going to use this in your life. Yes, that's true. But the timing, that's not the right time. Not the right time to say that.
But I read it 6 months later, and that really helped me. And ironically, before my dad passed away, he gave me a book on heaven by John MacArthur.
Oh, wow.
That I didn't pick up till
after.
And he had a copy of it, and he had all these things highlighted. That was such a blessing to me, was reading that book.
Yeah.
Because I was thankful that I had I find it harder to give comfort to people who the loved one isn't.
Right. Or if we're unsure or they're not, yeah, not well, I agree. Yes. Thank you, Wendy. Thanks for sharing that.
Paul, before you go on,
yeah.
I'm going to be handing out bulletins, so I
okay.
But I want to share a particular thing, and this could be helpful from a practical lens. My wife and I had found out that we could not have children, biological children. It was, to us, that was a loss of a child, you know, at least the hopes of having a child. And so we had gone to a small group. We were at a different church, it wasn't this church. We went to a small group, and my wife had heard some of the things that you don't want to hear, some of what like, similar to what Paul just mentioned, you know. Those kind of answers. But we went there, at the home of the people who facilitated the small group. The wife, she told the wife, and the wife, all she did was just put her arms around my wife and wept. Never said a word. And that meant, my wife talked about that years later. She always brought that up. Out of all the people that helped her, that was the one that helped her the most. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing that, Ernie. Some other things. Offer to help in specific ways. Rather than just saying, hey, what can I do? Maybe you see a need. If in the case of a spousal loss, there's a lot that has to take place in terms of paperwork and insurance and navigating through all that. Sometimes there's taxes, you know, to deal with. So maybe that's something that you're pretty good at. So you could say, hey, you know, can I sit down with you and help you with some of this? Just help you go through some of this. Offer cut their grass or watch their children. Ask if they have any financial needs. Oftentimes there's, you know, increased financial needs. If this person you know, if their loved one was ill, there may have been additional medical costs and whatnot. Everyday household chores. We mentioned earlier grocery shopping or minor repairs. Again, these seem like small things, but to the person who is grieving, they're huge. And you're showing the love of Christ. And they won't forget it. Ask the Lord for wisdom and direction. Go before him in prayer and say, Lord, I want to help this person. I want to be a blessing. What do I do, Lord? Show me. You know, show me what to do. We already talked about being patient, not being pushy. Small things are often overwhelming to those who are grieving. Small acts of kindness are huge. You know, it's like the image of that cold cup of water. I remember it was, I would say a year or 2 years after my late wife passed away. And it was a nice spring day, early summer day. And after church, I went out to lunch and went to Chipotle and sat outside. The table was a beautiful day and just sat, but I'm sitting there alone. And I was okay with that, but I was alone. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord had a brother and his wife and children come by that I'd just been worshiping with. And they said, hey, can we sit down with you? Can we just, you know, enjoy a meal with you? And that was such a small thing, but just meant so much. So those small acts of kindness, don't underestimate how important those small acts of kindness are to someone who is grieving the loss of a loved one. And again, we're showing the love of Christ to that person. What an opportunity to show the love of Christ. So what to say? This seemed to have gone, well, what to say or what not to say? Again, we talked about Job's friends. For the first 3 days, they were great. You know, they came alongside and they were just quiet and they were just there. Words of comfort. Christian, here's, let them know you're praying for that person.
Yeah.
Right? That's just so important. I'm praying for you. Please know I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you this week? What's like one thing I can pray for you this week? You can just say, please know that we share your loss, that I'm grieving too in your loss, you know, and we care for you. And again, we don't need to give a theological explanation. Maybe at some point there are some things that we can open scriptures and come alongside that person and do that. And that could be a great blessing, but probably early on in the process is not the time to do that unless they ask. And that's coming from an elder, right? We're all about going to scripture and pointing to the scripture, but we need to do things with truth and love, right? We need to balance and use wisdom in how we come alongside another. Again, how are you doing? A good thing not to ask, because it's just, well, how do you think I'm doing? I'm horrible. It was everything I could do to get myself out of the house today, you know, to get to work or to come to church. But rather, you could say, hey, how is this week for you? Or tell me, or can you share with me something that maybe you saw the Lord in the midst of this trial, in the midst of your grief? Is there some blessing that you might be able to share with me? That gives them an opportunity to, probably they have, gives them that opportunity to share. What went better than expected this past week, right? How can I best pray for you? And then at some point in time, as time progresses and you see healing, you might ask them, would you like to talk about You know, maybe you'd like to talk about your loved one. So just kind of put it out there. And they might say, no, I'm not ready. Or they might say, you know, I really miss the following. I really miss this. I really miss having someone to go to church with. I really miss having someone to go through life with. Or I miss my mother so much. You know, Mother's Day is coming up, right? I miss my mother so much. So just, it takes some discernment. But you can ask them, would you like to talk about your loved one? Yeah.
What about bringing up about a memory that you have about this person or something?
Yeah.
But is that almost, it's so weird because I've had recent deaths in the last couple of years in family, and I almost am like drawing a blank as to what it was like. Like, would I have wanted that?
I think the answer, like so many, is it depends or when. I think, again, everyone's grief is different. Everyone handles grief differently. But from what I've seen, oftentimes is the person who's grieving, like if they're very raw and you come up and say, you know what? I so remember your mom did this and those cookies she baked, you know, and I remember that one time. That just might be too much to hear. But as healing progresses over time, they're going to want to hear those things. They're going to want to be reminded. They're going to want to know that someone else remembers that person. So it's kind of a little bit of a balancing act. And again, discernment, you can pray about that and just sense, see where that person is. Yeah. And then as you see that the person is moving and progressing, that they're, you know what? They're getting up out of the house and they're doing the things and they're making it to work every day and they're coming back to church, or it's just to point that out, you know, that you know, I see this, you know, you're doing this, and that's, I know it's hard, but you're faithful in that. You're doing the things you need to do. That can be a real encouragement to someone who's grieving. You see that they're adjusting to life through this loss. You can just show them that you noticed that. And again, sharing comfort with others. So some additional resources. Bob LaForge has a great study on his website, and he did a full semester, if you will, class on suffering. Actually, I think it was maybe two semesters on suffering. So there's a lot of great ideas there. Some other information here, some from Christian authors. Griefshare.org, if you go to griefshare.org, there's a free daily email you can sign up for. You can encourage another person to sign up for. It's a short devotional. What I liked about it when I was fresh in my grief was it was short. It was just a paragraph. And it often was like just what I needed. There was maybe just one or two scripture verses there. And I've shown that to other people who didn't even attend Grief Share, and it was helpful to them. So that's something you might keep in mind as a resource. And certainly finding a Grief Share group. We hold Grief Share twice a year here at Grace. It's a 13-week cycle. It's not really a class. It's more like a small group. But we do a DVD-based learning each week for 13 weeks on a very specific aspect of grief and healing. So it's a great resource. So any questions? I think we're just a few minutes over, but any questions or comments before we close out? Anything I may have missed? So again, just these are just some ideas, some ways that we can come alongside others. It is often like awkward. How do I comfort this person? We're told in Scripture to comfort one another. Right? To weep with those that weep. And it can seem awkward, but these are some ways we can do that. And hopefully it could be a great blessing to that person. So let's close. Oh, yeah. Sure.
My mother-in-law lost a daughter who was 14 years old.
Ooh.
And she grieved for a very long time. And
yeah.
One of the things that she said
Yeah.
Hurt.
Yeah.
So I think it's an encouragement, even though it's awkward for people on the other end of grieving.
Yeah.
Like, you might not know what to say, but it's better to just be there, to see them, to let them know that you care, as opposed to just doing nothing.
Right. So good. So true. Yeah. And in a case like of that, we in grief share, we never compare one loss versus the other. That's no. The thing, the loss of an individual's head is what they're going through. But what we can say, typically in the loss of a child, the healing process is much longer, because no parent expects to outlive their children, right? So let's close with prayer. Lord, our great Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for, Lord, giving us your word and practical things in Scripture, ways that we can come alongside others who are hurting. We're told to weep with those that weep. We're told to comfort one another and to show the love of Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you give us some very practical things. And we pray that you allow us to be used as your vessels, Lord, to comfort and encourage those who have lost a loved one. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.